Alright. Welcome back, everyone. When we last left our adventurers, they had just begun to infiltrate the Palace of the Arconas, having been told that somewhere deep inside, their friend Glorio Osorini was held by the sister Arconas, Vermida Arconas, for his own safety, of course, in a place called the Vivified Labyrinth. After having freed the city of Old Corvosa from the tyranny of the old emperor, they decided to move on and continue on their journey in order to bring it to hopefully a close. Making their way inside the front double doors, they found the doors slightly ajar, just as had been promised by Glorio Arconas, and no alarms on the front door. Quietly stealing their way across the plush carpets and between the elaborate pieces of art hanging on the wall, the group made their way from room to room, realizing that our Glorio hadn't quite given them a description or directions as to where to go in his home. After stealthily making their way through, they passed one dozing guard. They made their way out to a banquet hall, one that seemed to be stained with crimson. Not sure as to what this meant, they made their way even further on, until they came to a door where they heard the sounds of night birds and crickets on the other side. Taking some time to check if the door had magic on it, they discovered that yes, there was a sort of dormant illusion placed on the door. Unsure of what to do next, the group opened the door, only to find it screaming at them seconds later. Very quickly closing the door and backtracking to see if they could find a way to regain a bit of stealth, they ran back into the guard that they had first encountered dozing. And as the guard shed his outer disguise, they found that he was not exactly humanoid, with pinkish scaly skin and six snakes' heads for arms. The group fought against this rather tough opponent quite valiantly, and eventually, with a crescent moon slashing blade arc from Rutha, managed to banish it, apparently, back to its own home plane. Deciding that perhaps it was enough to only run into one guard for the night, they continued to make their way through the Arconas Palace, finding a few weapons that they decided that Glorio didn't exactly need, relieving him of the items from his weaponry room. They continued on their way until they found they had made a circle back to some statues where they'd found a very similar aura of illusion. Once again, deciding that perhaps these statues could be moved in order to block a door, or perhaps it could be desecrated. Some of the members of the group decided to touch the statue, which began to proclaim loudly that it didn't appreciate being touched. In order to silence the statue, the group turned back and began to hack and smash into the statue in order to help and aid in silencing it. Unfortunately, marble is hard, and without a pickaxe, it took longer than they had expected. Long enough for two more guards to make their way into the room. As the group found these guards, they turned and did battle, and with a bit of quick thinking and a bit of luck on their side, Tanis, the Oracle of the Silver Dragon Apsu, managed to scare one of them away, who vanished in a puff of purple light. The other, having hidden himself with invisibility, came back to fights and avenge his comrade, holding down the one that had driven his aid away, and silently but very efficiently choking the life from her throat. As the rest of the group made their way around her, suddenly, the pressure vanished, leaving a odd, untyped sense of magic and a sense of unease in the air. Realizing that their stealth had been compromised, the group began to rush their way through many of the remaining rooms, back into a room where they'd heard more sounds, birds, and they stepped out into a place that they had not expected. A lush jungle, filled with light, bright lights, and what seemed to be a day sky overhead. And this is where we resume. As you step out, you immediately feel the humidity of the air become oppressing. And you can feel yourself very quickly beginning to sweat under the winter clothes that you are wearing. What would you like to do?
Can we get the picture of what we're seeing again?
Yes, you may.
Barring any other considerations, I think we're probably just going to be into that door to whatever temple thing that is.
Yeah, Shaq will go along with that.
As they walk, Morel would like to see if she can discern whether or not any of these plants are possibly poisonous.
Okay, Morel, make a nature check. And the link to the layout of the room is there once again. Let me know if you'd like to have the description again. Unfortunately, Morel, most of these plants don't seem to be native to Corvosa, the place that you spend most of your time. These seem to be large jungle plants of various bright colors, large, almost umbrella-like leaves, and vines that, although not moving, seem to shimmer.
If there are any dead leaves along the ground, she is going to just pick up a few of the really, really looking, dead-looking ones and put them into her bag.
And this isn't a problem. They don't fight back or anything. Yes, as you look around for you, Sindar, it's very hard to miss. In the center of the room, there is actually a life-sized marble elephant that seems to be facing the eastern wall.
Well, we got an elephant in the room.
So I dare you to touch it.
No more touching statues. Please. I can't believe I have to be the one to tell people not to touch anything.
Sindar, so if I make an intelligence check.
Touch it. Maybe I can push you into it.
Push me into it, you have a hammer in your face.
Intelligence check will be all of a 14.
14. That's enough. As you call out and alert your companions to the fact that there is an elephant in the room, you think back and realize somebody actually already made that joke before. And you look over at Rutha. She had said something about an elephant being in a room. And you recall that you were alerted to the fact that there would be an elephant in the center of the Arcona's palace What you were supposed to do at that time is hard to recall, though.
So Steel shares this information, shares this information with everyone?
Yeah,
or are we all trying to remember?
That's what I think about it. This was mentioned before, wasn't it? My memory's not all that good on this. What was it about an elephant in the middle of the house?
Knowledge history?
Sure. It wouldn't really be history. It was something you were told 3 days ago.
Right. So I guess what am I rolling for to try and remember?
I'll either allow knowledge history or a straight intelligence check.
For anyone?
Same, so.
For everyone except, unfortunately, for Morel, as she was not there to hear the news.
17.
Okay. Rutha, this is actually good for you. You were the one who was actually told about this. When you first met Glorio Arconas, he did alert you that the entrance to the Vivified Labyrinth would be under the statue of an elephant in the center of the Arconas Palace. And in order to make your path more clear, you needed to speak the words, "Chasmidu is blind," in front of the elephant.
Okay. I remember. Glorio spoke of this. Everyone, get behind me. And we're going to walk up to it. I'm going to draw the sword, have her shield at the ready. "Chasmidu is blind."
And the moment the words leave your mouth, you watch the elephant seem to... its eyes seem to look down towards you. And then ever so slowly, the pedestal that it seems to be... that it's standing on seems to slowly rotate until the elephant is facing away from you. But as it does so, you watch as the elephant actually begins to shrink. Smaller and smaller, until it's about the size of an apricot. And below its turned form, you see a hatch. And Tanis, you do recognize the elephant is magical.
Is it a figurine of some kind at this point, or is it still, like, attached to the hatchway?
Do you attempt to touch it?
No. Just looking at it, does it give off the appearance that it's now still attached to the hatch that has now appeared?
It definitely seems to be... It almost looks like it would be the handle for the hatch.
Ah, very well. Then, yeah, with that, Ruth is going to grab it. She's going to try to open the hatch.
All right. As you grab onto it and you lift it up, the hatch opens up, and immediately there's a smell of mustiness. As you look down, you see stairs that lead down, down, down into darkness. And as you hold the hatch back, you hear a faint click. And you have to catch yourself and also catch the doorway or the trap door as the elephant figurine pops off into your hand.
Oh. Okay. Let's see. What can I do to investigate this thing? Knowledge religion. Is this a god or an idol of some kind?
Okay. Make a knowledge religion check.
Total
23. You think back, and you realize the elephant itself is not a deity, but Chasmidu does happen to be a deity.
Oh, very good. I think Ruth is going to hand this off to Tanis and ask her to yeah, if she's interested in figuring out any of its magical properties. But for now, we gotta move. Truth is going to light up her sword with the light spell and start descending into darkness.
Okay, and as you hold the torch up above, as you hold your glowing sword as a torch up above your head, and you begin to step down onto the step, the stone stairway, you can already realize that it's much cooler. And Tanis, as you focus in on the statue, it seems to have multiple auras about it. Transmutation and conjuration and illusion.
Ooh. Would one of the rogues, whoever feels that they would be better equipped for some trap sense, join me up front, please?
As Morel says, yes.
Thank you, Morel.
Sure thing.
Wonderful. And I guess we'll press on.
Right. Alright, you begin to make your way down the steps.
Morel got a natural 20 for trap checking for a total of 31.
Very, very nice. You immediately hold your hand out. You immediately hold your hand out towards the rest of the group, making your way down into the steps, and checking the steps. And eventually, you run your hand along the stone. The stones, press them ever so lightly to see if they depress. Move your hand along the walls to see if there's any location where a hair-thin thread might be stretched across the steps. And eventually, do you find the thread that you were looking for, surprisingly. Or, I guess not surprisingly, considering what you've already encountered inside the Palace of the Arkonas. But yes, you do find a hair's thread stretched across the steps, right around ankle height.
Perhaps we can watch our steps, or I can try to disarm it.
Nice work finding that.
Oh, merci.
Nice work finding, but can you get rid of it?
Well, I mean, GM, does it look like they can step over it?
You could. And you could inform the rest of your group as to its existence.
We should, with this group, we should try to disable it.
Yes, no because you do think about it and you're like, we're going in, we know about it going in, but coming back out, will we remember it?
Monsieur Rabbit, would you like to try?
Sure.
Before she rolls, can I get advantage?
You may aid another, yes. So, Cone, you would roll with a plus two. If, and actually, Morel, if you could roll your check as well, disable device, to see if you could aid her.
Okie doke.
Okay. And yes, Cone, you do end up with your plus two as Morel begins to aid you and assist you, taking some of the dried sticks. She almost seems to rig up a scaffolding around the places where the thread meets the wall.
All right, 28.
Very nice. Yeah, you and Morel manage to work together in order to take some of the sticks, and you actually tie it around the string to help hold the tension in place. Once you've done that and you've tied that in place, you actually snip the center of the string in the middle. So the string is still taut on either side, but in the middle, there is no thread. You seem to have disabled your first trap.
Very cool. Rutha beams, literally. You guys did an excellent job. I have Dusk Sight. Can I see, how far into this passageway can Rutha see from her position at the front?
Dark vision?
It's low light vision. And the light she's got on her sword is, I think, helping to mitigate that, right?
If you have low light vision, you can see about 60 feet.
Okay. And can I see anything special, particular? Anything that jumps out?
Okay. Let's get to that right now, actually.
Perfect.
As you continue your way down the steps, down, and it takes you a good 15 minutes of walking down these steps, and you begin to wonder just how deep underground does this place go?
Every 10 paces, well, maybe a little bit more than that, it's all just been one great big descent, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're good for now. If we reach any turns or anything, then I'll make a decision.
Okay. As you step down, yes, actually, that is a good question. Are you trying to be unseen, or are you just making your way through and down these steps at full speed?
Yeah, I don't think Ruth is trying to stealth at all. She's got the big shiny sword out front, and speed is of essence for her. I don't know about anybody else.
All right, for those who would like to stealth, go ahead and stealth. But yes, as you
use the shadows,
as you make your way down, you actually step out into what appears to be a large cavern system that seems to stretch out almost 100 feet across. And you actually step out onto a stone landing. Down below, you can actually see the very faintest reflections of what appears to be water. And you can hear the sounds of the lapping of the underground stream. As you look around, the air in the vast grotto is cool. An iron-framed flight of spiral stairs winds up through the hole in the ceiling, up back to the room from whence you came. The ledge winds down along the cavern's inner wall to a series of rope bridges that descend even lower from ledge to ledge. The upper ledge, before it reaches rope, is a strangely breathtaking beauty. A garden of sorts, with all manners of strangely colored fungi, lichen, and molds. The fungi has been cultivated, shaped into all manner of symmetrical patterns, normally not seen in nature, transforming the ledge into a sort of underground fungal garden. Here and there, flickering torches of blue fire burn in sconces above the fungi, and from somewhere in the darkness below comes a soft splash of water against an unseen shore. And this is what the fungal garden looks like. This hidden underground garden almost seems to mimic or mirror in a strange way the jungle that you just left up above.
This is very, very cool, but also terrifying. Like
yes, it looks like this place will eat us alive.
We'll have to be on our guard. Is there any indication in this room of a direction to head further? I guess, does anything look like it's been shaped, I guess, the classic maze sort of way? Or is that what the cultivated fungi is supposed to resemble?
Well, let me give you a map of the area.
Marvelous.
You just stepped out of the spiral staircase in the upper left-hand side. The bridges lead... You need to walk around the balcony, of which all of which is the fungal garden, to get to the first bridge on the lower left-hand side. You would need to go down each of the rope bridges, first to the second ledge, then to the third ledge, and then back in full 360, back under the first ledge. Before you can just barely see with the flickering lights up above what seems to be another ledge below that. Exactly.
Lucan is going to take off and fly probably about 10 feet above the party if there's space.
There is. This cavern is enormous.
The ledges that the bridges are attached to, are they rock?
They are.
Are they dry?
The first and highest ledge definitely appears to be. The lower ledge seems to be a little damp. The lowest ledge and lowest bridge both seem to have a thick patina of moss and wet sea plant life on it, almost as if the water of this area occasionally will raise, and it will occasionally cover that bridge. But as of right now, it is low enough that you can walk across it.
That bridge looks stable to y'all.
There's only one way to find out.
Do you begin making your way around?
Several ways. Like, we have people that are good at looking for traps.
Well, that's what I meant. Was that we would have to investigate
okay.
it and just go around it.
I thought you were going to, like, step on it. I don't know.
Of course not. That would be crazy. All right,
the
so...
one who puts the
yeah, crazy would be going the quick way down.
That's not untrue either. But I don't think any of us have any way to feather fall or fly down.
I mean, can the dragon fly down?
I didn't prepare that one today.
Can Mukan do a... Or I guess can Tanis do a perception check? Just kind of fly out over the edge a little bit and look down. Does she see anything around the bridge or anything else that would look like a trap or any other people waiting or creatures?
I'm assuming you have dark vision?
She does not. So let me rephrase. Can Mukan do that?
Alright, and he has blind sight? Or
he has dark vision, okay. And dark vision and blind sight.
Good to know. Mukan can look around. Make a perception check for Mukan.
That is a 15.
A 15. He can see some of the bridges. Unfortunately, Ruth's light doesn't reach as far down as you would hope. And you can just barely see the bottom bridge as it's possibly 80 feet down. And the water just seems to be very faint, glimmering flecks of lights, an inky black pool below, as it's 100 feet away. The immediate area seems mostly coated in fungus, carved into various patterns.
Then Mukan will take a flight around the immediate area outside of Rutha's light field, and he is stealthed, and he's just gonna fly around and see if he can sense any other beings or creatures.
Okay.
That are in the dark.
Okay, one more perception check.
Can he essentially take 10 on it and say that he takes his time while the others are proceeding? He's just going to kind of be flying a bit of a perimeter around them.
Okay, let me know, and I'm also going to need you to make another stealth check as well.
Okay. Okay, so stealth check, and then if you want me to roll the perception, I can, or if he can take 10, that's cool.
He can take 10 if he's going to take his time. The stealth check is to see if you can stay hidden the entire time.
Okay. All right, that is not as good as a natural 20, but still pretty good. That is a 30... Yep, a 30 on stealth.
Okay, very nice. Lucan seems to leap almost silently from stalactite to stalactite, staying in darkness and making sure he doesn't travel too far, and most of the time he travels through the air is just to glide, to avoid the sound of his flapping wings echoing through the cave. All right. And what was your perception check by taking 10?
That would be a 16.
A 16, okay. Let me check one thing.
He also has the blind sense out to 60 feet. So, I don't know if that does anything different or not, but he has it.
Good to know. Okay, you do fly out and around, and as you make your first pass, you make your way about halfway across before you pick up something shifting in the larger mushrooms. You flick your eyes over in that direction. You can't see it with your eyes, but something is there.
All right, then he will telepathically speak back to he'll speak to Rutha telepathically, and he'll tell her,
you know, there's, looks like something in those larger mushrooms. I'm not sure what it is, but, something moving around inside there. I wouldn't get too close.
No. Thank you, Mukan. And, she will keep that in mind. Where exactly on the map were those larger mushrooms and this activity going on?
I would say in the 3 o'clock position of the clock.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Very well. judging by just the look of the whole thing, it does seem pretty apparent about the traveling around the rim to make our way down. So Ruth is just going to start marching. We're going to head that direction.
Wait, are we going to go down the bridges?
You need to go around the rim before you can make it to the bridge on the right. 7 o'clock position.
Stealth, please?
All right, who would like to stealth?
How dark is it without Rutha's sword? How much bioluminescence are we talking
about? You ever played Skyrim and you make it down into those caverns?
I believe I do know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, about that light level.
Okay, so we can still see and navigate well. It would still be easy for other things to creep up, but it's not like a dark room. There's plenty of glowing rock and fungi around, yeah?
There is, but it is still considered low light.
Okay. Sindar, are you having trouble?
It's low light. Sindar does have low light vision, so...
So does Elephant.
He'll respond. Okay. I can see for a little ways. Not very well, though.
We'll just stay close, and if anything comes upon us, we should be ready in this cluster here. Not gonna lie, player is very intrigued by the spur of open space down there in the southeast corner, but I don't think Rutha sees that where we're at, so I think we're gonna just head out.
And for those of you who do not know what I'm talking about for the level in Skyrim, this is about the light level, and this is the ambiance of the light in the area that you have.
Ah, so cool.
Alright, so you begin making your way around to the edge of the rim. And you said everyone would like to make a stealth check?
I think so.
Okay.
Not end well. 11.
Hey. Everyone else?
-2.
All right. Rutha, you forget to turn off your sword.
Oh, man. Someone point this out and she can maybe try again, because
7 for Shaq.
Does it occur to her sword is flowing at all?
You guys begin to make your way across, and Rutha, immediately as you get over to the place where Mukan had warned you about the creatures, you just get this tingle in the back of your mind, and you're just like, yeah, something's definitely not right.
Okay.
And instinctively, you draw your blade and point it towards the mushrooms. As whatever creature inside seems to have noticed. And at first, it's hard to tell against the mushrooms, but a mushroom seems to shift and twist, and you hear the faint sound of what almost sounds like snapping branches as they begin to turn and twist.
She's going to switch from her sword to her axe then, if she sees something's coming.
All right. As you do this, you hear a very faint... as a figure steps out from the mushroom. And when I say steps out from the mushroom, I legitimately mean he pulls himself free from the fungal stalk and begins to shambles and stumble towards you. You take one quick look and you very quickly realize that this probably is not an ally. And I believe we've already had everyone roll for initiative on this one.
Oh, well.
All right. So we will actually jump straight into the initiative. As the first garden guardian steps out, and there is no surprise round. It knew you were there. You were already warned that it was there. So Shaq, you get to go first.
Yay! What are we fighting?
Mushroom people. Dryad critters.
You can already tell that it seems to have a structure to it, a skeletal structure. But it does seem to be coated in mushrooms and fungus and rot and mold.
So where are we located? Are we on the bridge right now?
You are not on the bridge yet. You are on the 3 o'clock position of the lip around the deep pool.
Okay. And where is this fungus?
It is standing between you and the rest of the way.
Well, Jack's gonna take out his holy faust and take a stab at this thing.
All right, make an attack roll, and this is what you see.
Oh, wonderful. The Last of Us zombies.
Dead, I can do.
Alright, so you said roll for attack. Seventeen
unfortunately does not hit. As you bring your axe up, and actually, yes, still does not hit. As you bring your axe up and over and swing it towards this creature, you feel your blade crash into the side of it, and it shudders. But very quickly gets back to its feet.
Okay, let me roll again.
Yes.
That's less than the first one, so I'm assuming it doesn't hit.
Unfortunately, it still does not hit. You bring your blade up once again and try and decapitate it, but it brings its thick, bony, almost trunk-like arm and smacks your blade out of the way. Next, it's his turn. As you watch, its legs begin to twist and shift and seems to almost disintegrate into a swirling mass of greenish sand and spores as the guardian rises from the ground and begins to hover about 10 feet above you.
Jeez.
Floating above your heads, you watch as it takes another deep breath and exhales a green-yellow cloud over all of you in a 15-foot radius.
Great.
So I need everybody to make a fortitude save.
That's not a good start.
10. Not a good time.
25 for Shaq.
25, you pass.
29.
19.
You also pass. Stone, you also pass.
GM, is there any way that I get evasion on an unusual attack?
Unfortunately, it would have to be reflex save, and then this one is a fortitude save.
Just checking.
Yeah, he's just poisoning the air.
In that case, 8.
8. Unfortunately, you also do not pass. I believe that leaves Tanis and Mukan.
Mukan was flying a perimeter around the group, so would he be in that 15-foot cone? He wasn't right with the group. They were flying above them and out and around.
So how far away would you have stayed from the group when they started making their way forward?
Probably about 30 feet, because he has a dark vision of 60-foot range.
Good to
know. So that would have allowed him to continue to kind of watch the group, but also keep as much of an eye out ahead of them and around them as possible.
Good to know. All right, in that case, Tanis and Mukan do not need to make a save, but it is good to know that you are currently flying. All right, yes. For those of you who failed the save, you take 1 point of constitution damage, and you are fatigued for the next minute. Up next is Morel. All right. Okay, you take your dagger. I'm assuming you go over and flank with Shaq. Okay, you go over, slipping through the shadows, completely unseen to this creature. And manage to make your way up to its back. And you take your blade and you drive it up into the back of this creature's skull. You successfully hit. Roll for damage, along with sneak attack damage.
Including sneak attack, it was a total of 30.
Good to know. And yeah, I already said that it would happen, but in order for this to happen, you actually run up to Shaq. And Shaq, seeing what you're doing, holds out his arms, and you actually leap up off Shaq's arms up into the air. And as you pass the creature, you actually stab it before you come back down to the ground, as Shaq gives you a bit of an alley-oop in order to get to its location.
Nasty!
All right, that brings us to the second guardian, as another mushroom seems to split open, and this one, having a very similar set of chainmail and jagged sword, stumbles out. It looks up and around at the rest of you and slams its sword and shield together and doubles in size as it begins to tower over the rest of you. That takes its turn. Sindar, you're up next.
Trying to adjust stuff for fatigue real quick. So he is going to take a 5-foot step backwards. He's only trying to work his way out of the breath weapon range. And as his chakram begin to glow, he is going to... let's attack the one that's flying.
Go for it. T hits. Roll for damage.
Actually, hold on. This is 19 because there's a minus one to dex.
Good to know. That actually still hits.
Okay. So that will be 8 points of slashing damage. And it is enchanted, so it is a magical weapon.
Good to know.
And... points of electrical damage.
Very, very nice. As your chakram flickers up into the air and begins to spark and flash, almost like a contained ball of lightning. You said 13 points?
Correct.
Excellent. You see that this very first one is already looking rather hurt.
And as the first one hits, the second chakram flies out of his hand. And 16 to hit.
16 unfortunately misses as your second chakram you turn and you spin and you flick it out, but this time it seems to be aware of your presence before it actually ducks back and bends out of the way, almost like a willow branch of your chakram, before your chakram once again flickers out and then returns to your hand, almost like an arcane yo-yo.
That's his turn.
Cone, you're up next.
Alright, I would like to jump up over Shaq and attack with my rapier.
Okay. And knowing you, actually just for the fun of it, make an acrobatics check.
Yes.
Can I help her jump higher?
Shaq, make a strength check.
Yeah!
Alright, I already got a good roll, so...
That is a natural 20.
Oh, 23. Yes. And then, Cone, I'll say add a plus 5 to your acrobatics check to jump.
Let's see. That is a 50.
Okay, then. Yeah, Cone, you run over to Shaq. And Shaq, having already done this for Morel, prepares his axe and holds it out. You run over, leap into the crook of his axe, and coil down almost like a spring. As Shaq, you spin a full 360 and swing your axe blade upwards towards the other garden guardian. As you do, Cone, you actually rocket up over the second guardian. And you are about 15 feet in the air as you bring your blade down. I will actually give you the charge attack bonus for that.
Alright, what's the bonus?
Plus 2 to attack.
Alright, 29.
29 hits, and yes, once again, you will get sneak attack damage.
34.
Okay. As you come up over the guardian, it definitely was not expecting you to do this, or to appear so high. You take your blade, and as you pass upside down over this creature, there's a quick flick, and your blade flashes in the darkness before you drop back down to the ground, landing on a single knee. And you hear a secondary thump as the head of the guardian drops beside you.
Nice.
It had exactly 34 hit points left.
Wow.
It's on a whoop of excitement.
Alright. As Cone's turn ends, you watch as a third and final mushroom splits open, and seeing that its comrade has already fallen, even before it had a chance to go, it seems to let out a growl of bestial rage. It's actually going to come up and charge against Shaq. Shaq, does a 23 hit you?
It does.
Okay. You watch as it takes its rusty, corrupted blade and attempts to stab you in the chest, but you manage to turn out of the way just in time, but it leaves a long, jagged gash along your bicep. And you take 12 points of slashing damage. But he had to move in order to get to you, so that ends his turn. Rutha, make a religion check.
Okay. 21.
You've heard of undead. You know how they operate. You've heard various descriptions of them. Typically, when a creature's life force is bound to its remains, you'll see a flicker of reddish light in its eyes, indicating how it's seeing, how it's watching you. There is no light in the eyes of these creatures. It's off, it's wrong. And as you watch more closely, you notice that instead of its muscles being filled with a darkened purple light, it seems to be almost jerked around like a puppet on strings as the vines and moldish residue seems to twitch and pull and turn, almost as if it is puppeteering this skeletal vehicle.
Absolute fascinating. But, has to die. So, how close is Route 2 the nearest one?
There is one that is right next to Shaq. There's a second one that is doubled in size, also next to Shaq.
Cool. Then Ruth's gonna go for the big one.
Alright, go for it.
Let's do it. Do I have to move at all? Or
yes, you would have to.
Okay, so one attack?
Yes.
Nah, okay. That's alright, though. Two-handed. Big axe, let's do it. Ooh, that's so close. Natural 19. Okay.
Is this a great sword?
It's a great axe. It's her,
great axe.
Great axe.
Got it. Okay. Great sword. Yes. Crits on a 19 and 20. Sorry.
Right. The axes are nice because they do the... On the 20, it's a times 3.
So indeed.
She traded threat range for attack power. It's okay. Okay. So 19 plus... I mean, her attack bonus is pretty high, so...
Yep.
Okay. Great. Let's roll. D12.
After Rutha, Tanis, you're up next.
Sorry, I forgot. Flanking is just for attack, not damage, right?
Just for attack.
Okay. Is the Darkwood Great Axe Tethered? Masterwork? I don't remember.
It is, and it is also plus one.
Sweet. Okay. So it's plus one from its being Masterwork. And what am I at?
It is
two-handed attack.
It is a plus one weapon.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's what gives it. I'm just adding one from what the weapon is to this total.
Yes. So you would add one to both attack and damage.
Right. Okay. That's good to know then. I'm going to change that for my Excel here in a second. But I believe that comes out to 11 plus 7 is 18, plus 1 is 19. 19 points of damage.
19, not bad. As you come up and bring your great axe and swing it like almost like a logger attempting to cut down a tree, and manage to crack it into its where its kneecap would be, and you watch as various vines pull and split away from your gash, only to whip around almost like snakes as you seem to have severed one of its tendons. How much damage did you do once again?
19.
Good to know. Alright, that ends Ruth's turn. Tanis, you're up next.
Alright, there's still two of them, correct?
Indeed.
The one in the air, is that one dead?
That one died, yes.
Okay, then, question.
Yes.
Tanis is still holding on to this little elephant figurine. Would she have had time to detect what particular spells were on it?
You would focus in. It's unusual. There isn't a single particular type of spell on it.
Okay, she will get back to that after the fight. She is going to use barbed chains. And she's going to summon three hellish barbed chains that are going to burst out of the ground. And she is going to attempt trip combat maneuvers on at least one of them. So she has three chains, so I'll roll the first one. And this is a CMB against his CMB. And that is a 24.
Give me a moment, sorry. Trying to see if I can find it. I apologize, this is one of the few unique creatures, and their stat blocks are laid out differently from all the other ones that I've got. You know what, because I can't find it at the moment, we will say that it succeeds, and we will check again for the later ones when I can find it later.
Okay, then if that is a success, then it would be tripped, which I believe makes it prone, and it has to make a will save or be shaken for a d4 rounds.
Okay, you watch as the golden glowing chain of actually instead of golden chains that seem to flash out with silver almost scale like hooks and barbs that seems to almost reflect the nature of your patron, and the tips with the claws of silver dragons reach out and wrap around its leg and drag it to the ground with the sound of a draconic growl. The creature falls to the ground, so I'm going to assume... Yes, the moment it hits the ground, you watch as its head whips over in your direction. As whether it's undead or some other type, it does not seem to be affected by the shaken status.
Okay, good to know. Then she's going to attempt to bring down the other one with the second chain.
Go for it.
All right. Ooh, that's even better. That is a 28.
That definitely works.
Okay, then it is also prone. And the third chain is just going to attempt a melee strike to do a d6 of damage.
Go for it.
All right. That, let me just make sure it's melee. Yeah, a melee attack. So that would be a 19.
19?
And that's against a prone target, so that would be a d6. Awesome.
Yes. As the second chain snaps up almost like a serpent and wraps around the second creature's throat, dragging it to the ground. The moment it hits the ground, a third one reaches out, latches onto its side, and then rips out a small chunk of its flesh. Every point of damage counts.
All right, and Mukan will just currently keep Tanis back at a safe distance.
Good to know, Shaq. You're up next. The target that was first assaulting you was dragged to the ground by what almost looked like draconic snakes with claws for heads.
Yeah. Okay, so what is directly in front of Shaq right now?
There are two of the guardians. Both of them are prone on either side of you.
Prone?
Yep.
All right, so Shaq's going to smash one of the guardians' heads with a hammer.
Okay. And you don't have to move, so you can take a full attack, if you
awesome.
Wish. Up next is Morel.
19.
19 hits. And don't forget, you get a +4 on melee attacks against prone targets.
Oh, so that's a 23.
Still hits.
Yes. So that is...
And are you hurting the damaged one or the undamaged one?
The damaged one.
Good to know. Roll for damage.
That is... 11 points of damage.
All right, you take out your axe, bring it up over your head, and crush it down onto the femur of the creature, and you hear it crack as the bone seems to splinter.
Yeah, this is with the falchion. Sorry, I meant to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. The holy falchion.
Good to know. Would you like to take a second attack?
I would.
Go for it.
So it's a natural 19, which is in my crit range.
Roll to confirm.
Woo! Sixteen to hit.
16, unfortunately, the crit does not quite confirm, but it is still a hit. Actually, okay. Did you remember to add your +4?
No, I didn't.
Okay, 20. That 20 does hit. The crit does confirm. All right, roll double damage.
Roll damage. Here we go. 2d6.
Twenty-two points of damage. He is not a happy camper. As you come over, flip your falchion upside down and just drive it into the spine of this creature. And you hear the sound of vertebrae popping and snapping and separating as you drag your blade down and out. It still does appear to be moving, though. But it is very hurt. Up next is Morel.
Shaq is attacking the big guy or the smaller guy?
I believe this is the big guy.
Okay, Morel is going to get into flanking and roll for damage on the big guy.
Okay, so for a roll to attack first, you're probably going to hit, but let's see.
26 to hit.
That definitely hits as you take your blade and once again drive it into the creature. Roll for damage with sneak attack as you are flanking.
Also 26.
26. You reach down. You probably actually could have reached that point with a 5-foot step. So you could probably take another attack if you wished. But you reach down, grab the creature by the fronds of moss on the back of its head, and you pull it back as you take your blade and say, "Perdón," and slash it across his throat. Doing quite a bit of damage, and his head lolls over to the side, it's barely hanging on. Make your second attack if you wish.
Natural 20.
Oh, natural 20s auto confirm. Roll for damage.
I just realized I get to double.
But GM, I don't double sneak attack, correct?
That is correct. But you do get another sneak attack as it's still flanked. Alright, how do you want to do this on this particular guardian?
Woo!
Morel will put 1 foot on his chest, which kind of throws her off balance a little bit, but she's a rogue, so hey, acrobatics. And she will just, with her rapier, and go ahead and finish cutting the head off.
All right, and as you bring your blade down, stepping on its back, you actually jam your rapier into its throat and using your foot twist its body over, twisting its body off from the rest of its head. And you watch as its body rolls off the ledge, down, down into the inky black water below. And with a flourish, you actually remove the head from the tip of your rapier. All right, that ends Morel's turn. Sindar, you're up next. There is one remaining.
And it is on the ground, which makes things more difficult for Sindar.
It does, unless you'd like to make melee attacks.
Yeah, then I have to make saves to not slice his own arms off.
Does Sindar have anything like a Scorching Ray, a fire-based something that could be more... smallish? Just a spell?
He does, but he's trying to conserve some of that right now.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, he is... he's just going to take 2 shots at the one remaining without adding any extra spells or enchantments.
Make your attack rolls. He is prone, so you take a -4 to your attack rolls.
First one's a 20.
20 hits. Roll for damage.
Well, 19. I keep forgetting the fatigue.
19 still hits, fortunately.
Yes. Okay, so... 10, 12 points of slashing damage.
Good to know.
And the second attack is a... 14!
14?
Yes.
Unfortunately, the second one You bring your chakram up and over and throw it down towards the ground, but it almost skips like a stone across the surface of the water right before it reaches the creature and spins, losing its momentum. It still hits it, but doesn't hit with enough force in order to actually damage it.
And that's his round.
All right, that ends Sindar's turn. Cone, you're up next. There's one remaining prone creature before you.
All right, I will attempt to hit it with my rapier.
All right, you make your way over. You are flanking, so you get a +2 to attack. And yes, and you also get sneak attack.
Does a 21 hit?
A 21 does hit. Roll for damage with sneak attack.
Okay, that works.
If a 21 hits, the 25 would have hit.
Nineteen points of damage.
Very nice. As you take your blade, and draw it back along one of the legs.
Oh, sorry. I mean 21.
All right. Good to know. All right. Would you like to, I believe once again you could have made it there with a 5-foot step, as although you are relatively close together. If you'd like to take another attack, you may.
Alright. Does a 15 hit?
15, unfortunately, does not quite hit. As you take your blade and stab it down towards him, he just barely manages to twist and roll out of the way. And you catch through its chainmail shirt out through a hole. And at first you begin to believe that you damaged it, but you see that there's already a hole in its rib cage. You can see all the way through, and you actually manage to stab the stone instead. All right.
Alrighty.
I believe that brings us to the Garden Guardian's turn. It is not the brightest creature, and its first thought would be to get back up. As it stands up from prone, Shaq, Morel, Cone, Rutha, all of you get attacks of opportunity against it.
Go.
22.
22 hits. Roll for damage. Unfortunately, 11 does not quite hit.
11 points.
All right, got it.
20.
20 also hits.
And that's for... let's see. 11.
Another 11. Good to know.
big dude's got a lot of HP.
Mm-hmm.
Thank. What's a cone?
19
hits. Roll for damage, and you are still flanking.
Points of damage.
17, and that was with your sneak attack?
Yes.
Good to know. He's barely hanging on, but he is still alive. So you watch as he is absolutely wrecked. And you watch as he tilts his head back and seems to inhale more and more and more deeply, and you watch a deep yellow sac in its chest, right where its lungs should have been, it begins to inflate like a balloon until it finally bursts and releases that greenish yellow sand and dust and ash all around you. I need everybody once again to make another fortitude save. Except for Tannis, who's staying out of the fight.
Within what range?
15-foot radius.
So, Sindar should have backed out of that range?
Tannis will go ahead and misfortune morale.
Okay. And I will allow it, Sindar.
Alright, I'm going to use a mode of time to add d4 to this save.
Good to know. Shaq, you make it. Rutha, you make it.
17. Oh, wait. Hold on. I mean, 29.
Okay, yeah, that one, that will pass. Unfortunately, Morel, you just seem especially susceptible to these creatures' attacks, and as you get closer, it seems to get in your eyes and your mouth and your nose, and it burns like fire. You find it's hard to breathe, and it's almost like you're having the worst allergic reaction of your life. You take one more point of constitution damage. And when you lose 2 points of constitution damage, you automatically take your level worth of health damage. That becomes your new maximum. Alright, but that ends its turn. Rutha, you're up next.
Okay. Two big swings.
Go for it.
Total 20.
That hits.
Sweet. Nineteen points of damage.
All right. How do you want to do this?
Oh, she's just going to haul off and golf swing this mother into the hole, like into the big, vast nothing off to the side.
All right. You go and you step up towards the creature. Taking it, it turns its gaze in your direction before you grab it in your thick half-orc arm. And very quickly drag it over to the very edge of the crevice. And you look it in the eyes as you actually shove it up
into the air. Take your, I believe you're using the great axe.
That's correct.
All right, take your great axe, and then once again, make another crescent moon swing up through, shattering its pelvis, shattering its sternum, and splitting its skull in two as it falls backwards down deep into the blackened pool below.
It didn't look like it had anything to loot, I don't think, so no big loss.
You're not sure. You look back at the other ones, and yeah, they were wearing special armor. But you now have two remaining.
All right. Get the big guys out of the picture. That's cool.
And I believe that ends combat. Good job, guys.
Huzzah.
Nice.
I probably should have considered looting it before I knocked it off the side, but oh well. We needed to win.
Not GM. That's loot enough sometimes.
While the others deal with whatever looting, Tanis and Mukan are going to stay where they're at. And Tanis is going to turn her attention back to that figure and see if she can... Is it possible for her to do a spellcraft check on the conjuration magic to see if she can figure out what that spell is?
Make an Arcana check instead.
Alright.
Morel's just going to sit down and rest for a little while.
So you take a few moments to breathe the cleared air. Realize your breathing is coming a little bit more easily, but you can already feel your throat red and raw.
The situation is considered like ability score damage, not like disease, right?
It is ability score damage. It is a type of poison, unfortunately.
Boo.
Tanis, let me know what you get.
Alas, she only got an 8.
Ah, unfortunately. You're not sure. It's a weird, obviously magical doorknob. But I mean, who would make a doorknob into the shape of an elephant anyway?
Alright.
Anybody?
Apparently,
she will
worship.
Yeah.
Such peculiar, or not peculiar, just gods that are so very different from what we're used to here.
I mean, a rabbit would have been better, but...
Tanis will put it into her bag of holding for now, but she is definitely not satisfied with it yet. She wants to know exactly what it can do.
Fair enough.
What do these nasty things have on them?
Alright, make a perception check.
Okie doke. That's a natural 20.
Oh, well, in that case, you know exactly what they have. Alright, you begin to go rifle through the two remaining bodies. And you see that although the scimitar is old, rusted, and corrupted, the armor that they're wearing is shiny and new, and untouched by mold. Same thing with the shield that they carry.
Interesting.
And they both have a single, large, dagger-like spike in the center of the shield. As you pull it off, you immediately recognize that this is +1 chainmail from each of them, and a spiked +1 light steel shield from each of them.
Cool. Wonderful. Looks like we didn't need to steal from upstairs after all. And she will work on fitting those items into the bag of holding.
Okay. They also have old, broken, rusted scimitars, if you wanted it.
No, I don't think so. Can she... I don't know, screw her memory to try to remember if the big guy had something similar on him?
The big guy was actually one of the little guys who used magic in order to make himself big.
Right. Okay, so it's safe to assume he was also wearing something like this.
Yes.
Well, he's at the bottom of the whatever this is. So, unless Mukan wants to go down there and strip the body, it would probably be okay.
I leave that up to you guys.
Would someone a little more mobile like to retrieve the body that ended up over the side?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a hard pass on that one. You know, he probably sank, and I don't really want to go down in that water.
Perfectly understandable. The next band of adventurers can find it. We'll make our way further forward, then.
Or just fish.
Mukan will go ahead and re-stealth and continue to try to perceive what is in front of them as they're going along.
Right, good to know. As you begin to make your way around, you make your way over to the very first rope ladder that seems to descend at a rather gentle angle down to the first lower ledge. The three rope ladders ascend even deeper into the cave, connecting three progressively lower ledges on the wall until finally reaching a stony protrusion at the ground level. This protrusion rises from a rocky beach overlooking the sloshing waves of the sea cave.
Ruth is going to keep an eye out for, are there any other entrances besides these that are so readily apparent? I don't think she has to spell like detect secret doors. She just wants to keep an eye out for any like side passageways.
Okay, good to know. Morel, you go and you check the ends of the bridge that you can get to without stepping on the bridge. You look back and forth, but the bridge itself does not seem to be intentionally trapped. It does look old, and dare I say it, even potentially rickety. But
there it
does not seem to be trapped.
I don't think the thing is intentionally dangerous, only maybe dilapidated.
Then perhaps we should cross one at a time, keep the weight to a minimum.
All right, who would like to go first?
Does anybody want to tie a rope to them?
I'll go. I'm very light.
Sure.
If you'll go with me, it will go quickly.
I think Ruth's the last. She's probably the heaviest in all her heavy armor and such.
Possibly. Alright. Morel, as you make your way across, I need you to make an acrobatics check.
Were we going to do the rope thing first, though? Do we have that opportunity?
Oh, yes. Yes, you would.
Rope me up, y'all!
Alright.
Alright. And Cone, very quickly, very deftly ties a rope around your waist, making a nice, secure slip knot at the very end.
All right, Mr. Rabbit, here we go. And now, acrobatics check?
Indeed.
Well, that'll be a natural one.
Well, you start making your way across, and the bridge is old, and the bridge begins to swing, and you reach out to catch yourself on the side.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, just as you say that, the rope that you lean against snaps, and you tumble over the side.
Not okay!
For a split second, your stomach catches into your throat as you plummet through midair. Who's holding onto the other side of the rope?
I assume Rutha would be, since she's going to be going last.
Okay, anyone else or just Rutha?
I was too.
Okay, I need you both to make a strength check as the rope immediately goes taut. And Morel swings out into midair.
Shaq wasn't holding onto it, but can he like jump in once he sees what's happening?
Make a dexterity check.
16 strength check.
And 19.
Okay. Alright, and yes, Shaq, thanks to
Con's adrenaline's pumping now.
Yep. Seeing Morel plummet over to the side, you immediately plant your feet on the side, wrap the rope around your wrist, and pull. Rutha doing the same, and Morel, you swing like a pendulum back towards the side. And your ribs bruise against the side of the stone. You take 2 points of bludgeoning damage as you crack back into the stone. But the others do manage to slowly drag you back up, and you're alive.
Oh, that is enough for that for one day, I think. Is the bridge itself damaged?
It is damaged. The acrobatics checks DCs will be going up because of it, but it is still crossable.
Question.
Yes.
Can Mukan fly up to the damaged part, and can Tanis use mending on it?
Yes, actually you could, as you take the two ends of the rope, hold them together, and close your eyes, and it's almost as if the rope seems to grow outward, and intertwine with itself once again, as the bridge once again becomes whole.
You shouldn't have done that to begin with.
But the bridge still stands before you. A bit more menacingly now that it has shown its dubious intent.
Well, I mean, I don't mind going again. This is my friend that we are after, so.
Tanis and Mukan will fly close to the bridge and kind of right next to the person as each of them go across.
All right. Who would like to go first? And I will allow Mukan to give an automatic +2 to your acrobatics check just by holding on to one of the claws of the dragon as you make your way across.
Did you still want to go across, Morel?
I mean, if you want to go first, by all means.
Alright. I'll go.
Alright, do you retie the rope to yourself instead?
Yes.
Okay. As you slip Morel out of the knot and then tie it around your own waist, you take a breath and begin to make your way across the bridge. Make an acrobatics check.
That's a natural 20, so he got a 41.
Okay. You take a step towards the edge of the bridge, and you're just like, nah, not feeling it. And you take 2 steps back and leap to the other side of the bridge.
Oh, if I did that, it would have been higher. I have +5 to jump.
Well then. Yes, you managed to leap all the way to the other side.
That's a lot better. I mean, I don't really like heights, but okay. I'm good.
All right. I'm assuming you untied the rope from yourself and let it be pulled back for the next person.
Yes.
All right. We now have one member across. Who would like to cross next?
I guess I'll get it over with.
Alright, Sindar, you're up next. As you tie the rope to yourself and begin to make your way across, make your acrobatics check.
He starts walking, like, I got this, and promptly falls. Crit fail.
Okay.
Real quick, Tanis is going to use her trait, Agent of Chance, since she is immediately next to him when he does this, to let him re-roll a skill check.
Alright, do it.
That'll work. Because I think Misfortune has technically already been used on him for the day. It's a whole lot better, but it's not a great failure. 12.
Alright. You begin to lean over to the side, and the bridge begins to twist, and you can feel yourself falling. And your arms leave the bridge, and one leg leaves the bridge. And your other leg, by against all odds, managed to wrap around the guiding railing of the bridge. And you hold yourself in place, breathing so heavily, before you turn, twist, and pull yourself back up. And as you do so, you can see that Tanis seems to have her eyes closed, concentrating. As you pull yourself back up, take a few quick steadying breaths and hurry the rest of the way across the bridge.
Where he promptly sits down on the ground and looks slightly panicked.
Alright, we have two people across the bridge.
You did it.
And you haven't fallen. Neither of you have fallen 100 feet to your death. Who would like to go next?
Jack's gonna say, you know what? Let's just do this. And he's gonna have the rope tied to him as well.
Alright. Who's going to hold on to the other side of the rope while Shaq is crossing?
Rutha.
Good to know.
Is Morel going to help?
Good to know. All right.
There we go.
Shaq, make your way across.
Hold on, rolling. What am I rolling?
Acrobatics check.
Acrobatics? Ooh, very nice. 24.
You go out very carefully, realizing the dangers that this bridge can present. and you shuffle your feet. And then as you make your way further and further, you're like, hey, this isn't so bad. And you make your way, you even let go of the guardrails since you make your way across without a problem.
At this point, maybe you guys should untie your side of the rope. You should tie yourself to that side of the rope, and we'll hold on this side.
Is the rope long enough?
Yes.
Lady Fussy Britches, do you want to be the hero and go last?
Well, I don't know about hero, but I was going to hold the rope for you as well.
No, we're holding the rope from this side now. There's more of us over here.
Well, then I suppose that's that. On we go.
Right, who goes next?
Do you know Boulder Parchment Shears?
I have no idea what you said. Your accent is definitely not helping with that. But I rolled an 8 to cross.
All right.
I got an 8, I should say.
Begin to make your way across. And it shakes, and you grab onto the sides. Take a few more steps, it shakes again. And you can feel it already sagging and straining at the posts. And you slowly slide your feet across. But you do make it.
Excellent.
The DC for the first bridge is not that hard.
Awesome.
No question now.
Yes.
As Sindar points to both ends of the rope, now on the same side of the cavern, or of the bridge.
Tanis will reach out to take it, and Mukan and Tanis will fly it back.
And Norel will take the rope, and maybe a dragon claw if it is offered, and make an acrobatics check.
All right, make your acrobatics check.
You're not going to believe this.
Oh, gosh.
Morel, you are holding on to the side, to Mukan, and you're just like, okay, I can do this. I've got this. And the posts on the other side of the bridge pull out. And the bridge collapses. Once again, you begin to plummet. And you grasp tightly onto Mukan's leg. Unfortunately, Mukan is not quite strong enough in order to hold you up, as you are about the same weight. Tanis, I need you to make an acrobatics check to hold onto Mukan as both are dragged downward.
Okay, rather than doing so, can she just respond by summoning her own draconic wings and lifting off of Mukan?
You can do that, yes. Okay. As you see them going down and immediately just bail off the side, grow wings yourself and watch. And Morel, you make it about halfway down before you realize Mukan's not really helping. You let go, and once again, you bruise your ribs on the side of the stones, dangling above the water. You take another 2 points of bludgeoning damage as the group slowly pulls you up onto their side. And you've made it across the first bridge.
Well, that was an adventure.
More to go.
You know, now that I think about it, we probably could have just lowered everyone down to the final ledge beneath the first one.
Unfortunately, the second ledge is 80 feet down, and you only have 50 feet of rope, I believe.
Ow. Well, okay. Never mind, then.
Unless somebody else has another rope, but frankly, I hate climbing.
Hmm. Well, here goes the second bridge, then.
All right. The DC for this bridge is slightly higher, as it's closer to the water, and it's a little bit more damp.
Awesome. Okay.
Same system. People...
Is there a way for us to, rather than, like, holding the rope, can we tie it off to something to make it more like a guide wire, so that you can basically hold on to it as you cross, and even if the whole thing fell, you could just hold on to the rope, like, hang there?
You could definitely do that. You would have to get someone over to the other side first, and you would have to have something that you would be trusting would hold it in place once you get to the other side as well.
Okay. Then with our smallest, lightest, whoever, if Tanis could fly this over to the other side, does somebody have some pythons? I think I have some in my pack. I'm not sure.
Tanis would fly it over. That's fine.
All right.
Also, question.
Yes.
Would it be possible for Tanis or Mukan to go back and take some of the rope from the broken bridge and try to harvest it so we have more rope?
You could definitely do that. You would get an additional 25 feet of rope for each side.
Before you do that, how are we going to get back?
That is a question that does need to be asked, as the bridge, the first bridge, is technically down.
Eh, we'll figure it out later.
We're all just gonna sit on this pillar weaving ropes into bridges on the way back?
Well, as it stands, the rope, the bridge above us is very broken. So, there's not much we can do about that one. Although, we don't seem to be being pursued at this point, so maybe taking some time to make sure that our escape is planned for would be a good thing.
Oh, you fixed the bridge once before. Can you pick up what's left of it and do that again?
I don't think I can fix that much damage. And besides, I don't think I can lift those beams back up to where they were.
We'll figure out a way to make it work.
Alright, then she will leave the rope and the bridge. She'll just leave all of that as it is and just focus on helping them move forward.
Alright. Second bridge. Make your choose who goes first and make your acrobatics checks.
I'll go first this time, guys.
Does anybody else have another rope?
I don't think Ruthie carries an adventuring pack. Is there one in the bag of holding, maybe?
Depends on if you picked it up.
I just don't remember off the top of my head.
Alright, never mind then.
I don't typically go spelunking. It's not something I keep on me.
Well, good thing I brought it.
There we go. Can we all roll acrobatics and just kind of declare what order we want to go in and see who makes it, who doesn't?
Sure. However you want to do this.
Oh, man. We got to speed things up a little bit.
I agree.
Yeah. How about we... I imagine all of us going at once would be a definite strain. But, yeah, go ahead. Shaq, lead us off.
Yeah, I got you. So, the 28.
Yeah, you make it across.
He has the rope with him, so he's holding the rope on the other side.
Cool. Next. How about Cone?
He got a natural 20 again.
Yeah, you're just like, nope, I hate bridges, and you leap across.
Gracious. Mira?
Sindar will go with a 12!
Hey, you were a little bit shakier, but you do make it across.
Morel, go ahead. Is there any way to aid another on the acrobatics roll? Like maybe holding the rope really steady?
Mukan can offer a claw for a plus two.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Fifteen.
You also make it across. In that case, Kelsk, if you could give me one more acrobatics check, we will end when you guys make it to the end of the bridges.
18.
All right, you make it all the way across. All right, in that case, like I said, we will end when everyone makes it across. All right, back to the second bridge. Morel, you make it across.
Cinder already made it?
Correct.
Okay, Ritha got in at 12 as well.
Yep, you also make it across. This bridge right seems to, now that you know what you were expecting, this bridge did not seem to cause as much trouble. And now, for the final bridge. This one is wet and slick with seaweed and plant material and moss. Make your acrobatics checks.
And there's a plus two from Mukon?
Yes. Sweet. I assume so. If Mukon chooses to continue to help.
Yes. And Tanis will give guidance to each person before they go.
Nice.
So that should be a total of plus three from Tanis and Mukon.
All right. Morel, you... Yeah. You are... more used to, after making across the second one, you picked up confidence, and you actually take a moment in your lips, like, I just want to get across this bridge, and you take a running start and slide across the slightly greased planks, and then kick off on the other side, turning on the other side, and you breathe. You're okay. That actually worked.
I'm gonna try that.
All right, go for it.
32.
Yeah, you don't have as much panache or a little less style, but you also do manage to slide across the planks.
Sindar got an 18.
You're fine.
Ruth ended up with a 15 total.
15. Yeah, you're also fine.
Great. So we're at the bottom.
All right.
Huzzah.
As you make your way to the last portion, you stand at the bottom of the vast cavern. And over towards your left, a single wooden pier extends out to a gently sloshing pool of seawater. A shallow draft barge is docked at the pier, and a single unlit lantern hangs from its bow. Supporting timbers and brickwork line parts of the lower edge of the cave to the west and south, showing where the original sea cave had been artificially expanded. To the north, the 25-foot-wide waterway provides an aquatic exit from the cave. The distant, muted sounds of the surf echo down from that direction. And as you take a breath, realizing that you are probably at the very beginnings of the vivified labyrinth, you take a moment to take stock of the friends that you still have, the friends you've almost lost to the waves, and the journey that still stands before you. And I believe that is where we will end for tonight.
Awesome.
Good job, guys.
Winning.
All right.
A,
so
how shallow is the water? B, can she see the big dead thing? Is it down here?
It's hard to see into the water. A lot of the light is reflecting off of it. You would probably have to get a stick to test to see how deep it is.
Yeah. She'll try it out. She'll poke around with it, see if she can find it.
Yeah. And we could probably do that next session.
We can do it now. Save the time next session.
I know. Some people want to go to sleep. But with the fact that you guys managed to take care of the guardians rather handily, I believe you all gain a level. Congratulations, guys.
Woohoo!
You don't regain the spells that you've used for the day, but you do gain the new spells from the new level.
Right on.
What about HP?
HP, your maximum HP will go up, and you'll gain enough health to go up to based on the HP. So for example, if you're rolling a d8 and you roll a 4, your max HP goes up 4 and you gain those 4 hit points.
I'm just thinking about the current status condition that she's under.
Ah, yes. You will have to get that fixed with a lesser restoration at some point. Either that or you need to sleep a day in order to remove 1 point of ability damage per day.
Yeah, Sindar still had one of those points, so when he took another one, he was back to negative HP.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you level, you'll get what you roll plus con minus one because of the con drain.
Everybody's level 9. Gonna be level 9.
Yep.
Cool. Rutha now has 3 uses of Smite Evil per day. Do I just go ahead and add the new one on top of the one that she had left?
That is correct.
Beautiful. Oh, that's good to know. Awesome. There's gonna be a couple other nice little ticks as well. That's gonna be cool. She's taking a level in Evangelist today.
Ooh, awesome. Very nice.
So I just think that everybody should be aware that at this point Tanis is pretty much used every fate-twisting ability she has on the party. I think Cone and Rutha are the only two people she hasn't misfortuned yet.
Thank you.
I was lucky so far.
Because you have 2 lucky rabbit's feet.
Yes.
Indeed. Hey, they take your place, and they take you places.
Yes, they do.